As we talk about this runaway prophet, maybe you're running away. Maybe the Lord has told you to come to him, and you have refused, and you're running. And I like the motto of our Air Force guard down here. I think it's Air Force. It's our C-130 gunship has on the side. You can run, but you're only going to die tired. I like that. And you know what? We can say that about the Lord. You can run, but you're just going to die tired. God cares when you say yes, is the title of this sermon. God cares when you say yes. Last week, David preached about Jonah 1, and really God cares if you say yes. Now, we're going to talk about if God cares when you say this. And when is a time issue. When is about one of the things that we can't ever get back. Sin always costs you something. At one point or another, it's going to cost you. In our Sunday school lesson today, you saw a lot of cost within sin and what it cost us in this world. But for sure, it cost us something most precious, and that is time. Time away from the Lord and living in rebellion, not doing what he says, is a time of wasted time. And something that we can never get back is time. And I dare ask how much time is lost in this world because of sin. If you are presently living in rebellion to the Lord, and I'm not saying you're not coming to church, you're here. I'm not saying you don't read your Bible every once in a while. I'm not saying that. I'm sure Jonah did all that. You might even be praying, but God has told you, and you won't do it. You are there. He's been working on you. You might be struggling with some depression. It's gotten so bad. You're unsatisfied. You're cranky because you won't do what the Lord tells you. And you're wasting precious time that you could be glorifying the Lord and telling someone who needs Jesus. You should be sharing the gospel. And someone who is living in repentance has done this. Now, we talk about that. What's repentance? I tell you what, you guys are probably could preach it for me. Repentance is turning from your sin and yourself to Jesus Christ. But how is it lived out? We know what that point was, repentance, but how is it lived out? Let me tell you. I want to ask you. If you're living in repentance today, this is what it looks like. You have organized your life to glorify God and to promote the gospel. You have organized your life like this. Maybe we need to ask that question ourselves. Why don't you repeat after me? We have organized our life to glorify God and to promote the gospel. Now, is that true for you? Is that true? Because if it's not, you're wasting time. You're going to meet the Lord with that. I didn't ask you what you did for a living. If you put in air conditioners, I just want you to do it for the glory of God and to promote the gospel. I don't care if you build houses, even good ones. Just promote what? The gospel and to glorify God. Have you organized your life? If you haven't, you can tell. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? When's the last time you glorified God, no matter what anybody thought? You see, this is rare that we would organize our life like this. And we're wasting time. Let me just maybe illustrate time for you here. Let's just say, this is the life of an old man. Well, let's just put it, a really old man, let's say 110. Boy, I don't think anybody, I just heard of a lady dying at 103. Let's just do 100. 100 years old, that's old. Right? This is 100 years old. All right? And I'm going to pick on Brian here. All right, Brian? Brian, how old do you think you're going to live? Just give me a guess. What do you hope to live to?
Already lucky.
Okay, I know it. I know you are. But what do you think would be the average good life for you? 80. All right. That's not happening. All right, how old are you now? 63. What's your favorite meal? Meatloaf. That's it, Brian. That's it. This is all we got left. And that is alarming. And some of you eat Pop-Tarts. I'm that guy. It gets down to nitty-gritty, and you know, we don't got much left. And we are playing around with what? Instead of glorifying God and arranging our lives to do it and to promote the gospel. And this is what Jonah refused to do. He was not going to Nineveh. He wasn't going to do that. And the Bible says that sin is good for a season, and his season was short. But season is a time frame. And we all have seasons in life, and some of them can last a long time. And we can go absolutely decades wasting when we only have this much left. What season are you in? And how long has it lasted? Sin always leads us to death. Sin can't support life. Only righteousness can. And so righteousness will lead you to the throne, but sin will drag you down to despair. And that's why the psalm says the wicked will perish and are forgotten. We do not want to be a part of that group. And with this being said, it's not difficult to understand why the Lord chastises his children who disobey. And Jonah's being chastised here. The fact is that if you continue in the path of sin, it will cost you some sort of death. Either death of yourself, literally. I've seen it too much, of just disobeying. I've seen kids die because they wouldn't obey their parents. I've been on many of those scenes. I've seen grown men who just refuse to obey the Lord in their life in regards to holiness and lose everything. It'll be the death of either a marriage, the death of a friendship, a death of a brotherhood. It's going to be some kind of separation, maybe even of a family, the breaking up of a family, maybe your employment. My brother works in Elko, and he's a supervisor, and he just walked into work the other day and said to one of the ladies that works for him, say, hey, by the way, it's your lucky day. You've been selected for a drug test. She went, what? Well, you know, I am taking a little bit of some narcotics for pills. Is it on your paper? Have you listed that? Have the doctor's approval? No. I don't know then. Well, they did a drug test. She had methamphetamines in her body. Best job if she's ever had in her life. $65,000 a year just watching a gate and pushing a button. Gone. Death. And she walked off in tears because of sin. Church, God cares when you say yes. At whatever season you're in right now and you're hearing this message, God cares that you say yes today. Stop. Stop just playing with Christianity and say, have I organized my life to glorify God and to pursue and promote the gospel? There's lots of scripture Matthew 6:31, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hey, God's got a plan. He has a better plan for you than you have for you. And so we just need to get on board and really start living for Christ. And let's just look at how God dealt with his runaway prophet. Would you stand with me in Jonah, the second chapter? And let's look at, actually, I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 1. That's kind of starts out the second chapter well. And the Lord appointed a great fish. Your Bible might say prepared a great fish. It wasn't a whale. It was some kind of fish he made. I bet it was something. To swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. That's like death. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again to your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountain. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. And while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will repay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that it's real, it's history. That, Lord Jesus, when you were here, you spoke of it as an actual event. And so, Lord, we thank you that this actually happened for an illustration to us. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to know that you care when we say yes. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Something quite alarming. Thank you, brother, for picking up all of your life right there. Appreciate that. And the Lord appointed or prepared a great fish. Here's something that we need to know. God is prepared for you. God has a plan. And if you don't go along with his plan, he's prepared for that. And it is amazing when we see this that the Lord prepared a fish, a great fish, to swallow Jonah. And it says in verse 17 here, and God appointed, prepared, preordained, allotted, predestined a great fish to swallow Jonah. It always amazes me just what kind of appointment and place God prepares for his rebellious children. And what kind of goodness he prepares for those who obey him. I kind of think that when Jonah said, hey, throw me overboard, he was just saying, throw me in the sea and I will die. I guarantee you, because if he knew a fish was going to swallow him, he'd say, row, row. All right? Don't throw me in. All right? If you knew you were going to get swallowed by a fish, that seems terrifying to me. I'm always nervous in the ocean that something could eat me. I'm in a lake. I'm not so worried. But I get in that ocean, and I get out there, and I feel a little funny. It's attached to a big place. All right? When I go to pyramid, it's just not so bad. Some people get freaked out. I love swimming in pyramid. But when I get in the ocean, there's things out there. And it's amazing that we see this. Now, the Lord has arranged things like this in the past. Israel was taken into captivity 400 years in slavery, into starvation and famine. Samson had his eyes plucked out and put in slavery. He had a place for his rebellious children. Nebuchadnezzar was banished for 7 years, grew like hair, like feathers, had fingernails like claws, like an eagle, and went mad into the wilderness, the king of the world, because he wouldn't give God glory. And he humbled him. Moses was sent into the wilderness 40 years. Miriam was afflicted for 7 days with leprosy, had to be outside the camp on rebellion. So God is prepared to do whatever it takes to bring you under his rule. The reason is because God deserves a yes from you and from me. This just doesn't sound right. No, Lord. There's a problem with that. Then he's not your Lord. When we say no to the Lord. And God can use a lot of different means. In the Nevada Revised Statutes for a policeman to an effective arrest, it says this: take the person into custody at whatever means necessary. That is broad. Some people don't like how broad it is, and now we have it on videotape how broad it is. That when you run from the police, they can chase you. Because if we put something up there like, well, if they run, they get away. Well, we'd have a lot of problems in our world today. Or if they fight back, you can't resist only to this point. Well, they don't. It doesn't say that. Otherwise, it would be anarchy. And so, it says, take the person into custody at whatever means necessary. And I'm telling you what, I've arrested people for just little bitty misdemeanors and fought for my life. Because it says, and it gave me the power to arrest somebody at whatever means necessary. And you know what? The Lord gets to do that too. When it comes to any of his creation. And God is no different. He has a right to bring you into obedience at whatever means he deems necessary. And he does it, and he does it often. And as we think about our own lives, what did it take for you to turn around? When do we surrender to God's custody? Well, we have a lot of illustrations, but we see here that Jonah cried unto the Lord finally. Why? Why did he call unto the Lord? Well, look what it says here. Verse 2, I called out of my distress. Things are getting bad because of my affliction, the King James says, because his comfort level changed. You start changing someone's comfort level, and we see some change in Celebrate Recovery. We call it when the hurt outweighs the high. When the cost of my sin becomes so high, the damage is worse than the fun. And we start going, wow, I got to change some things up. I'm about to lose my marriage, my job, my life. We start changing then. As a negotiator, we had barricaded subjects. And a barricaded subject, he's going to jail. He knows he's going to jail. And so he barricades himself, pushes the couch against the door of the house, puts up everything, won't come out, maybe brandishes a gun, keep everybody at bay. And he's gonna stay in there, and they call negotiator. So I call up there, and I call in the house and say, hello. And this is back before cell phones. And, hey, I'm Officer Morton with the Reno Police Department. I'm a negotiator, and I'm here to talk to you about why are we here? And that's how I'd start. And I'd let them talk. And as long as they're talking, they're not doing something crazy. And I'd just talk. And I'd go hours talking about how, yeah, you're going to jail today. You are going today. Your house is surrounded. What's going on? And we go and go and we talk. And pretty soon I just go to the command officer of the SWAT team who commands me. I say, he's not moving. He says, well, we need to encourage him. So we shut the power off in the house. And now he's in the dark. Hey, you shut my power off. Yeah, shut your power. We're serious. We want you to come out. Now we can sneak around your house and you can't see us. I'm not coming out. He's not coming out. Shut his water off. Hey, you shut my water off. I'm going to thirst to death in here. You might. It's going to be a while. We're not going to be that long. Trust me. We got other means. And pretty soon, he's on the phone with his mother. He's on the phone with his mother. I can hear him. We cut his phone line. Now he has to, Mark, I've heard this. Mark, are you out there? Yeah, you want to come out? No. I said, get a throw phone. SWAT team sneaks up, puts the throw. I said, open the door. And he opens the door and he grabs the throw phone. He goes, what are you doing? You shut my water off, my power off, now my phone. Now all I got to do, the only one I can talk to is you. I said, that's right. Just me and you, buddy. It's dark, Mark. I wonder if Jonah went, God, you got me in a place that's dark, no power, and the only one I can talk to is you. Church, have you ever been there? Has God arranged a fish in your life where maybe even right now, the only one that's listening to you is God, and you feel like you're in the dark? Let me tell you, I got some good news for you. There's a way out. And God never disciplines his kids without a good thing in store. And Jonah, we see this. God is calling you out to win this neighborhood for Christ, to win your neighborhood, to do so many things. And what are you fiddling with? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's futility. God is wanting you to come to him. And it says, when did the prodigal son, remember the prodigal son in Luke, the 15th chapter? When did he finally say, I'm going home? You know, he got the inheritance. He's spending on loose living. He's out having a big party, and then a famine hits. And pretty soon he's out, and he's got some friends because he probably had a good party with them. And they said, all you can do is watch the pigs. Worst job a Jew could do. Watch the pigs, and he's kind of out there feeding the pig slop going, you know, I could eat a little of that. I'm so hungry. There was a little bit of corn on that cob. I could just get it out of the soup and eat it. You know, he got there and went, wait a minute. My dad, even his hired help, does better than this. And I was a son. I'm going to get up and go to my father. That's the turning point. And Jonah does the same thing. It says in verse 7, and Jonah remembered the Lord. He remembered so many things about the Lord. He remembered how good he is, how gracious he's been, and how it's his fault he's where he's at. And he looks around and says, I can't do this anymore. Do you know some people never come to this? This is terrifying. I have literally spoke to a woman under a bridge who is homeless, has forsaken her marriage, has sold herself, has forfeited her children to have one more hit. If you get everything taken from you and you still live under a bridge, that means one thing. Repentance is a gift. That if you don't get it from God, you stay where you're at. You will stay there. And so if God is calling you to repentance, you're a blessed person. Because it doesn't come to everybody. And so what did he remember? I think he remembered a few things, and I'm just going to run through a few and be done here. First of all, that he could pray and cry out to the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 talk about that. Even in the middle of his discipline, God was listening to Jonah. In fact, God is disciplining us to bring us to the point that we forsake all attempts of trying to save ourselves. And this cry out to God. In many situations, we were disciplined to the Lord. We kind of think that he's distant. I don't know about you, but when I get disciplined from the Lord, I feel like his face is against me and I'm by myself. But I want you to know, if you're being disciplined from the Lord, he's closer than you think. I remember once I was spanking John Mark. Happened every once in a while. And I was spanking John Mark. I always used a belt, the end of a leather belt, and I spanked him. You can spank your kids. You know this? And when I spanked him a couple times, he just reached around and grabbed me by the leg and said, I'm sorry, Daddy, I'm sorry. Well, that stopped the spanking. Because I got the result that I needed. But you know why he grabbed me by the leg? Because I was near. I was so near to discipline him. And so Jonah cries out to the Lord. God put Jonah in a situation that he no longer could run from him, nor have control of his circumstances. I think it is quite ingenious that God put him in the belly of a fish and said, just think about it. R.T. Kendall says this, the belly of the great fish was not a happy place to live, but it was a good place to learn. And Jonah did the only thing that Jonah could do. He prayed and cried out to the Lord. Hey, the first thing I want you to do if you're in rebellion today is just cry out to the Lord. Your circumstances, cry out to him. He's close. He's there. You will find mercy. Number two, God hears your prayer. Well, that's a good thing. It's not fun when you don't think anybody's hearing you. When you think there's no one that can hear my desperation. But he knew that God heard his voice. Man, that's powerful. I've had times where I couldn't get someone's attention and I was desperate. I remember I was cleaning the house. I was 12 years old. We were doing a spring cleaning. And some of you know this story, but some of you don't, so I'm going to tell you. And I found a coyote trap of my brother's. And I was 12 years old. I was a pretty big kid, but not big enough to put a double spring trap on. I put on both sides of that double spring. I grabbed the jaws, and I opened it up. And I'm trying to get the pan over there, but I'm not heavy enough because the springs are so powerful that finally it slams on my fingers. I pull this hand out, but this one stays. And it's a coyote trap. And I'm like, I can't get my hand out. And blood starts popping out the pores of my fingertips and starts squeezing. And when that happens to a 12-year-old, you hear some screaming. And I start screaming, Dad, Mom, and all the other kids are gone. Dad's mowing the backyard. He's half deaf. And so I had to wait till my dad reached the side of the house. Dad! Didn't hear me. Goes to the other end. Dad! I'm screaming my head off. Well, our insurance agent lives here. This is how a small town works. My insurance agent lives here. My mayor lives here. The Catholic priest lives here. My biology teacher lives here. Superintendent lives here. And the principal of my elementary school lives here. That's why I got caught for everything. Right? Well, I got a Catholic priest running to me. I got the mayor running out of his house to me. I got the insurance agent. He showed up first. Before my dad heard me. And I come up and goes, what can I do? Just step on my feet. And I pull my hand up. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Becker. Thank you. I can't call you father. All this stuff. You see, when we call out to the Lord, we need an answer. And he answers us. God hears your prayer. Also to admit that God is sovereign, has the right to do this if it pleases. You know what? That's something we have to come to grips with, that you are not your own. You're bought with a price, and God gets to discipline you. Do you know, a lot of people don't agree with that? Who's he got the right to do this to me, throw me in the water in the belly of a fish? You know, Jonah never says that. He already knows better. What's Jeremiah say? The clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. No, you don't know your position is all. You think you're independent or something. And you will stay in your sin and in your trouble until you agree that God has the right to do this. I've heard many people say, I'm mad at God. I kind of step away. Say, I know you can maybe get mad. What I do like about that statement is you know he's in charge. And that he's got control. But for you, at the back, with the backdrop of that cross, what Christ done for you, you're mad? Because why? Because someone maybe died in your family? Maybe God knows more than you. Okay, God does know more than you. Even Job, in all his distress and tests, was not allowed to bring an accusation against God. No. I can understand it, but it's not right for the mortal to accuse the Creator. Sounds arrogant and prideful. and like we know better than God. Hey, also, that in all of our distresses, we find here a very, very critical point. You cannot miss this if you don't miss any, if you miss everything else on this sermon. Remember this. A turning point comes when he is released. You know when that turning point is? When he gets down in the belly of the fish on his knees and he thanks God for it all. Oh. You know how hard that is? You know how much faith it takes to get down on your knees in the worst day of your life, the worst circumstances of your life, and just thank God you have him at least. And that you can just thank him. We see this. I want you to notice that right here, being thankful that you have God can be called upon, that you can call on him, that this is no time to abandon your faith or give up in despair. Be thankful. If you notice, this is the turning point in Jonah's situation. That's when he gave thanks to the Lord in the midst of his affliction. We have a guy in Celebrate Recovery named Jerry. I love Jerry. He shows up here about, now he goes to all sorts of Celebrate Recoveries, but he shows up here about, oh, every other Celebrate Recovery. And he'll say the same thing. When I got my DUI 2 years ago, it was the worst day of my life and the best day of my life. It was the worst day because I got arrested, my truck got towed, it was a $2,000 bill to get out of jail. I have 3 times the insurance now. All these consequences he was talking about, but it was the best day because it was the day I got on my knees in a cell and said, I'm done. I'm done with alcohol. It's taken so much out of my life. It's been the biggest thief in my life, and I'm done. And he says it was the best day ever because it was the turning point. And he's been sober for years now, 2 years, and living a glorious life. And he says this, I'm glad it happened to me. I can thank God for that day. That's called repentance without regret. What did it take for you to get right with Jesus? One day you'll look at him face to face and say, wow, that was nothing compared to the joy I have today. In fact, in this life, you will say, that's nothing compared to the joy I have in my heart right now and the hope I have just to obey him. Are you rebellious? Is God calling you out? Is God saying, turn, I know you're in a dark place? It says here also, to recommit and surrender again to serve the Lord. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't stir up some hardness of heart and be a stiff-necked person. The Bible talks about stiff-necked. I didn't know what a stiff-necked person was till I became a policeman. And I would run after a guy and we'd fight and then I'd handcuff him and he'd continue to fight and we might even have to put a hog leg on him to tie him up. Or stand him up, and I'd walk him to my car, and guess what? He would stiffen his neck up and not get in my car. And I'm like, man, buddy, been caught red-handed. We fought. I handcuffed you. You're in custody, and you won't get in my car, just in rebellion. Well, what do you do with someone like that? You break him because he's getting in my car. Now, nowadays, it's easy. You take the little canister off your taser and you put it in his stomach and he'll bend over. It won't hurt him. It won't damage him. Well, for a second it does. In the old days, we just had to fold him in there. Push him in there. And this is ridiculous that you would stiffen our neck against God. You can do it to the police and it won't go well, but how about to the Lord? Don't do this. And lastly, just to acknowledge that salvation is from the Lord. There's no one else that's going to save you. Run to Jesus. There's nothing else that can save you but Jesus Christ. There's salvation in no one else but Jesus Christ. How many people have learned that? Lot learned that. When angels came and just said, let's go. And delivered them. How about the nation of Israel when they were led across the Red Sea on dry ground? How about Gideon defeating an army 400-1? That would have been a fun battle. Three Hebrew children just walked around in the fire. Deliverance is a common theme of Christ. Daniel slept amongst starving lions. Peter was led out of prison by angels with a magic key. Gates just swung open. Paul and Silas by an earthquake. God can deliver you. He knows how to deliver you. Let me close with this. Notice that his affliction is between Jonah and the Lord. Do you know nowhere in Jonah do we hear about the devil? Nowhere. Because your relationship is with God, not the devil. He's just a bystander that antagonizes us. We have enough rebellion without the devil. We need to repent of this. Notice that Satan is never mentioned in it. And so when it comes to open rebellion against God and his children, we need to look no farther. We have found the enemy, and the enemy is me. And so I ask you, do you need to open your eyes and say yes to God? I want you to know you're going to have to get thankful for whatever situation you're in. Just thank him. This is what it took to bring me to Christ. And let me just give you this last thing. Don't wait too late for repentance. I've seen it too much in my short 13 years as a pastor. Don't repent after your spouse has left you. Repent now. Don't push this envelope. No, you know that God has called you to this. Yeah. Don't repent after the kids are out of the house. When you could repent now and they would see that dad has changed so much that they would know there's a God in heaven. How about now? Or how about, you know, don't say, I'm going to repent when I'm 75. When I've given all my life to something else and I have to show up with the Lord with this little bit left. Because of physical infirmities, you can't do now what you want to. Repent now. Repent now. They asked Luther, when should we repent? He says, well, before you die. Well, I don't know when I'm going to die. Well, then you better repent today. You better come today.